Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC 281 main event for the middleweight title, Israel Adesanya defending his belt against his old kickboxing rival, Alex Pereira. So before we get into the analysis, this show is brought to you by our friends at Established Titles. I've got to show you this very cool little plaque that I've got here. Now, anybody that knows me knows this is definitely something I'm going to be into, and this is a great gift as well for a lot of people I know. So our friends at Established Titles are running this very cool project where you buy a plot of land in Scotland, and because you become a landowner, due to a historic law in Scotland, you'll become a lord or a lady. So go onto the website establishedtitles.com/outlaw. You'll get an additional 10% off. That's including off the Black Friday sale that they're having at the moment. And what you'll get is you'll get your own plot of land with a unique plot number. The first couple of hundred people that do this will have a plot right near me. We'll be neighbours, so we'll have a little outlaw kingdom going on there. And the other thing as well with this, not only are you protecting the natural woodlands of Scotland, but they will also plant a tree for every order placed alongside their partners, their charities, One Tree Planted and Trees for the Future. Of course, something that we should all be focused on, because we all breathe that good oxygen, and Scotland's a beautiful place. If you've never been there before, make sure you go and visit and become a lord or a lady before you do. That's very cool, isn't it? I know you love that. Go to establishedtitles.com/outlaw and get involved. Okay, let's get into the analysis. Right. So, Israel Adesanya against Alex Pereira. Now, both of them are 6'4". Adesanya has a 1-inch reach advantage, so kind of much of a muchness. What I do expect is for Alex Pereira to look more physically imposing. I think he's got a more heavily muscled frame than Adesanya, and I think that's going to be evident not only in his punching power, but also in any kind of clinch work that may happen in this fight. Adesanya's got a record of 23 with one loss. Alex Pereira, 6 wins and 1 loss, so still very early in his mixed martial arts career. 15 knockouts out of 23 wins for Adesanya, 5 out of 6 for Pereira. Now, if we look at their kickboxing records as well, this is something that I think is interesting. So Adesanya's kickboxing record is 75 wins and 5 losses with 29 knockouts. Alex Pereira, 33 and 7 with 21 knockouts. So their knockout ratios, their knockout percentages are always slightly favouring Alex Pereira, as you would expect. Adesanya's creep up slightly in mixed martial arts, and I think that's probably down to the fact that he's wearing the smaller gloves. I do think that helps Adesanya in this fight. I mean, you've got to think a 10-ounce kickboxing glove is perfect for the defence of Adesanya, but if you slip and get out the way of punches a lot, then the smaller the weapon that's flying at you, the easier it is to get out the way of. The only downside is if it does happen to land, it doesn't have all that padding. But then you've also got big gloves that you can use to defend as well. And because Adesanya doesn't tend to use his guard too much, he tends to use his head movement. Again, I feel like this might favour him given the fact that it's smaller gloves. Alex Pereira, though, with his knockout ability, I mean, 33 wins in his kickboxing record with 21 knockouts, his 63% knockout percentage. Alex Pereira, 6 wins with 5 knockouts, 83%, compared to Adesanya, who's 38.6% for kickboxing and 65% knockout for mixed martial arts. So again, they both edge towards Pereira, but also Adesanya's got so many more fights in mixed martial arts and in kickboxing. And that's really kind of the story of, I mean, their two fighting styles. Like, you look at their first fight, and I've done an archive on this, actually, which will be up on the channel, so hopefully you've already watched it by now. Personally, I felt Adesanya won that first fight. I felt like he landed the cleaner shots, he was more effective. The majority of the shots that Pereira landed were landed on kind of shoulders that were being rolled out the way, or, you know, he punched air a lot. And he did land a couple of good shots on Adesanya, but that also proves that Adesanya can take those punches pretty well. Adesanya landed a lot of punches on Alex Pereira. And what I will say is if Adesanya had the same kind of power, I think he would have knocked out Alex Pereira in that first fight. But Pereira took his shot so well. Adesanya did also land a lot. Okay, let me show you a couple of bits. So this is their first fight. And like I said, I've done an archive on this, so I've not got many clips in this. I just kind of wanted to show you generally what I was talking about. Like, this is a good example of the attack of Alex Pereira being stifled by Izzy. The right hand comes over the top and gets kind of rolled off the arm, and then the left hook hits the lead shoulder and Izzy circles away. It's just all the time Izzy was just not quite there to be hit. A couple of times when he did get caught, he took shots so well. But generally, it was a lot of this. It was a lot of slipping and moving, being out of the way of shots, building this frame, using his footwork and circling. Like, you can see how confident he is to take these shots. I wonder whether he'll be this confident in the smaller gloves, but I don't see why not. Lovely uppercut there. Uppercut, frame, right hand, circles off. Under that right hand again. Right hand, power shot, rolls underneath it. Like, there were a lot of times when Pereira was attacking and just punching air. And it clearly affects his confidence in the first fight, because he did start to withdraw a little bit. And this is why I feel like Adesanya won that first fight, because he was more active. He wasn't as impactful with his punches, absolutely. But he did land a lot. And at the end of the fight, it looked very much to me like Pereira looked defeated, and Adesanya had his hand up already waiting to be announced the winner. I don't know. I mean, you watch it yourself and you tell me, and you watch archive as well and tell me what you think in the comments. Because I feel like, and yeah, okay, it's not important. I mean, their first fight was, what, 2016? It's not important, but it is important at the same time if you're one of these two fighters. Because, you know, of course, this is a new fight. It's in mixed martial arts. It's in an octagon with small gloves. There's a lot of differences to this fight, but their perceptions of one another is still an element to be considered. Like, how did Adesanya feel from this fight going into their next fight? Because I would imagine he felt annoyed that he didn't win the decision and confident that he was going to get the win this next time around. Pereira going from their first fight to their second fight, was he thinking, oh, I beat him the first time, I'll beat him this time, it'll be even more convincing? Or did he think to himself, man, he was a handful, I'm going to have to land cleanly to hurt him because I landed a few shots and they didn't seem to do anything and he just kept tagging me. Like, we don't know what's going on inside these fighters' heads, and I would love to, but we can only speculate. But what is interesting is that their first fight was April of 2016 and their second fight was March of 2017, and Pereira had two fights between between these two bouts. Adesanya had eight. He went 7-1. Pereira went 1-1. And then you look at their kickboxing records. Adesanya had 80 fights. Pereira had 40 fights. You know, the work rate for Adesanya has always been higher, whether it's mixed martial arts, kickboxing, or in the actual fights itself, his work rate is higher. What we see from Pereira, though, is although he does less, he also needs to do less because he does the same kind of damage with a lesser volume of strikes. Okay. Let's get into the second fight. Again, I've just got a couple of clips of their second fight, just to kind of reinforce that the same thing was happening. Lots of right hands by Adesanya. Pereira looking out of his element and looking quite uncomfortable at times. Constantly getting peppered. Like, if Pereira lands this shot on Adesanya, he knocks him out. That's a solid right hand. Bang. But that's the difference with the two of them, is that Pereira will take Adesanya's power easier, whether it's 10-ounce gloves or 4-ounce gloves, I expect. But is Adesanya's power increased in the smaller gloves? It will certainly feel more impactful, and it's easier to get through the small gaps in people's guard when you're wearing the small gloves as well. But this was a really nice performance again by Izzy, that was a little bit more confident than their first fight, but kept pinging him with that right hand over and over again. Lands a lovely head kick here as well. Here's the bang, look at that head kick. Counter to a hook. Catches him right in the side of the head. See what I mean? He just takes these shots so well. And this was kind of the feeling of the fight. It was Pereira was taking shots and he was frustrated, but they weren't really hurting him too much. But then there was a point when Adesanya landed, what, three right hands in a row. We'll see it here. I mean, look at that. They are clean. And he's posting with his lead hand as well. One, two, three. And that's where the referee steps in and gives Pereira a standing count. So again, he was not credited for a knockdown, But he did get the standing count. But then a few seconds later, not much, Pereira steps through with this devastating left hook. And the reason why this landed, as I've spoken about in the archive, so that's a separate episode, so make sure you watch that as well. Is that one will be up yet? We'll have to put them both up, won't we? Yeah, we'll have to put them both up. So Adesanya's in a southpaw stance and he's throwing his left hand and it goes over the shoulder of Pereira. But kind of similar to... Where's that earlier clip? You can tell these are on plan, can't you? Kind of similar to this clip, right? This is what happens. Same thing again. But Adesanya's in a different stance this time. So instead of this being a jab, it's a cross. But the overhand gets stifled on the shoulder. Same as it does in the other one. But the difference in this circumstance, this is their first fight, is that this is a jab that's been slipped, so Adesanya is able to move away. See how the hook catches his shoulder. If we skip forward to their second fight, what you'll notice is that Adesanya is in a southpaw position. So he's already committed. His shoulders are already committed. Throws the cross. You can see Pereira's cross being like scuffing across the side of Adesanya's shoulder, not landing cleanly. But you can also see him plant heavy on his lead foot as he throws that cross. And then he twists through with a power left hook because Adesanya is committed to that cross. He's already in range. He's not able to move back. Here we go. You can see that. You can see the cross, the overhand getting kind of stifled. But you can also see how his momentum is carrying him through for the hook. Big power. Like, if just for a moment we play the game that I was the judge in the first fight and that Adesanya won and he outpointed Alex Pereira, and then they had a rematch and Alex Pereira came in and was outpointed for the majority of it but then landed that big left hook to knock him out, that to me would kind of paint the two options for this fight. I don't expect a great deal of grappling. I expect them both to have been working on their grappling, but I also don't really think that either of them are going to want to waste too much energy grappling. Now, the fact that Pereira is training with Glover Teixeira might have elevated his grappling level, and he might have a clever, high IQ mixed martial artist in his corner going, even he won't be expecting you to take him down. So I'm not writing it off, but I'm also not focusing too heavily on it. If I was fighting one of them, I would be, because I wouldn't be ready for that secondary game plan. But I think particularly Pereira will feel like he hits hard enough to be able to land at some point in 25 minutes. And I feel like Adesanya will know that Pereira is strong enough and his ground game is good enough to just not want to burn energy that he's going to need for attack and defense in the striking ranges. That's my basic logic. But, you know, There's always an ace card up someone's sleeve. We just don't know what it is in this fight. That's my immediate thought on the grappling ranges, though. Now, we need to have a quick conversation about the differences between the two styles of fighting. So, of course, in one of them they're in a ring, so you can get stuck in a corner, and in the other one, they're in an octagon. So you've got several different corners, wider angles for you to move into and move around. You've also got to remember that the gloves are slightly different. You know, they've got 4 ounce gloves. They've got 10 ounce gloves here and they've got 4 ounce gloves there. So the weapon that they're using is much smaller. Ideal for Pereira because he already hits really hard. If he lands with one of them, it's going to massively increase his chances of a knockout. Better for Adesanya because a smaller glove means it's going to be easier to slip, because it's a smaller weapon flying at his head. Of course, the stakes, if it lands, are greater, but that's the way that Adesanya defends. And the benefit in defending like that is, first of all, it can make your opponent look quite silly if they're swinging and missing. Second of all, if you throw with power like Pereira does, you need to hit the brakes and to pull that shot back so you don't overextend yourself. Because the times when Adesanya is very good is when he's slipping out of the way and countering the aggressive attack of somebody else. Think about the Whittaker fight. Like, as someone's moving into him, or Paulo Costa, same thing again. As someone's attacking him, he's drifting away and landing his counter hooks, which is nicely coupled with his head movement. The reason why, this is something I noticed. I'm not sure whether you've seen this, but I thought it was quite funny. And I want to draw your attention to this for, well, one or two reasons. One, because it's cool and a little bit funny. Two, because it shows you that every step of the way Adesanya is analysing this game. He's deciding what he's going to do on his walkout. He's deciding how he's going to walk out. He's decided his dance moves. He's decided what he's going to do when he walks up the steps into the octagon. He's decided what he's going to do at the face-off. He's decided what he's going to do when Paulo Costa hits the floor right before he gets TKO'd. He's going to decide. He's going to know exactly what he's going to do right after the fight. He is so in this game, every single stage of what he does is considered. And I think that's very cool. It's, of course, it allows him to kind of perform for us. And I think some people don't like the fact that there is a performance there. But as an analyst, it tells me that he's present in the moment and he's considering everything that he's doing. And this is just such a minor thing. This is protect myself at all times moment. I love that. Look at that. Whittaker offers his fist. What does Adesanya do? He's playing rock, paper, scissors. And he wins. It's just a simple little thing, but straight away Adesanya's like, in his head, he's like, I got you first. Like, I got you first. Rock, paper, scissors, dude. Paper. I love it. I mean, it's even almost a statement about the way that he fights. It's like, you can be the rock, but I'm just going to blanket everything that you do. I'm just going to cut out all the light. I want to be too much. What is it? What is he? They say in 300, we'll fight in the dark. Like Adesanya throws enough at you, and he clouds your brain with enough that it's like that. You know, it's rock, paper, scissors. He is just blanketing that rock, making it inconsequential. Now, the reason why I pulled this fight is because it's a really good example of the difference in kickboxing and mixed martial arts. Now, the range between the two of them, what I'm looking at is the distance between their two hips. In kickboxing, that's there. I would say there's probably a foot, foot and a half difference, maybe even 2 feet at times. Now, of course, because these two are both 6'4", they've both got, 79, 80 inch reach. There's not much in it. But still, Pereira is going to want to be there. He's going to want to be a bit closer to Adesanya. He's not going to want to feel like he's so far away, because that's when Adesanya is difficult to hit. If Adesanya's at just outside of kicking range, that means Alex Pereira's got to move through kicking range into punching range before he can land his own shots. And against someone as slick as Adesanya, who's going to read him moving in, that's always risky. The other thing that I need to draw your attention to is the way that Adesanya stands. Now, I talked about this a little bit in the Chandler Poirier war room, so go and make sure you check that out. Now, Izzy stands in this long stance here, which it gives him some good options. It gives him really good options slipping and moving. The fact that he also is very good at stepping away and switching his stances and setting up other options from southpaw, like his left kick or his left cross, it makes him dangerous all the time. But what this wide stance allows him to do is it allows his head to move far further. Let me draw that again. It gives him a range of motion for his head where he can kind of matrix around. So if someone like Alex Pereira is coming with big shots, or like Whittaker did in their first fight, they come winging with those big shots. This back foot here allows him to lean away and put his head right over in this pocket here where he's away from his opponent's attack. This is the benefit in the wide stance. You know, you watch someone like Lomachenko or like Mayweather, that long wide stance, Prince Nassim, long wide stance gives them that range of motion to move their head, which makes it far more difficult to hit him, because there's a far wider area that you've got to aim for. Now, what I always say, if you're a young fighter and you're dealing with someone that likes to use a lot of head movement, just aim for their center line all the time, because their head is always going to return to that center line at some point. The other thing as well is when someone moves their head a lot, usually their legs stay stationary and so does their body. So the tendency to try and hit somebody in the head that's difficult to hit in the head makes people want to try and hit them in the head more. And because Pereira can clean your clock with one shot, he's going to be wanting to hit Adesanya in the head with one clean shot, which might make it easier for Adesanya to think to himself, okay, I know what I'm slipping here, because he's almost always attacking my head. Just something to think about. But there's a difference between kickboxing an MMA range. And Adesanya, in these small gloves, in this big octagonal space, he's so good at creating distance. Drifts away, switches his stance, re-establishes that distance between the two of them. And Whittaker can't move forward here because he's moving on to this and this. Like, this can quite easily whip around the side, but Adesanya is going to drift back into his other stance and give himself those same options. And you see Whittaker start to move away from him. Like, the establishment of range of Adesanya is going to be interesting in this one, because what you want to see really is a lot of this kind of stuff where Pereira is trying to hit him with something and Adesanya's just outside of range. I mean, you can see the distance is different here. Like, that was a long range oblique kick from Whittaker, and he was not able to get Adesanya. He's going to throw another kick in a minute and it's going to be the same situation, because the range, Adesanya sees him coming. He sees him coming because of the distance that he's got to cover between their hips. Now, of course, the other thing for Adesanya as well is to take away that lead leg of Pereira. And this is something he did really well against Rob Whittaker. He's very good at attacking the legs. We saw it against Paulo Costa as well. If he can take away that lead leg, we know how important the left hook to Alex Pereira's game is. That's what he knocked Adesanya out with in their second fight, and that's what he's been doing the majority of his damage with in mixed martial arts. So if you can dismantle that lead leg, and I must say this every time, it really is a key in mixed martial arts. And like, Poirier's in that same situation with Chandler. Chandler's got a very long stance. I would dismantle that lead leg against Chandler. If I'm Adesanya, I would dismantle that lead leg against Pereira. Not because he moves in and out very quickly, but because he plants all of his weight on it and drives his power into his hook. I would be trying to take away that base as much as I can. And Adesanya is good at managing that range, stinging and keeping his opponent guessing. Look at that change in rhythm there. Like, these things go, this is the difference between someone landing a low kick and not. Because this one just kind of slaps. But then he steps in with a hard one, and that's the one that does the damage. And the reason why that second one landed is because of his change in pace, which is something that Adesanya is very good at. It's something that both of these guys are very good at. I'm going to talk about it with Pereira in a minute, but their ability to kind of delay their attack or speed it up, go slightly faster than their opponent's expecting. I mean, it's such a high-level kickboxing match, this is. It really is. Watch what I'm talking about with the timing of this, because Adesanya did this against Paulo Costa as well. He kicked him with a low kick and he points that, and then he attacked it straight away. That shifting gears, that changing cadence shocks people, it makes them anxious. It sometimes shocks them and they just freeze, and then they are there to be hit, which is what we saw against Paulo Costa a lot. He just didn't know what was coming, so he kind of, deer in headlights, didn't know what to do. He just kind of froze and took the shot. Like, watch this change of pace here. Inside kick, straight away. Tap, tap. And the second one's more aggressive than the first one. The first one's kind of, it's not lazy, but it's certainly not with the same intensity as the other one. Bang, like, he steps into that second one. And he knows he's going to get it because of the change in pace of the kick. Here's another one. Lovely hard low kick, and he's attacking to the outside of the calf, knowing full well that Whittaker's going to lift it up slightly. Oh, let me see, show the replay. Look, right to the side of the knee. Very nice. And one other thing from this fight as well. We were talking about the size of the gloves, the difference in the size of the gloves. This is exactly what I was talking about. So again, this distance between the two hips, MMA distance, not kickboxing distance. We know it's kicking distance because as Whittaker throws this inside low kick, Adesanya just turns his shin into it. Crack. And you can see Whittaker. He tries to hide it, but he's like, ooh, you know that hurts. And then this series of feints from Adesanya. This is why he's confident fighting at this longer range, because he knows that with the way that he moves, that kind of snake-like style, is it like he said at the press conference, it felt like a reptile. like that kind of snake-like style, along with the fast feints when he changes his rhythm, it makes people nervous because he's such a good striker, because he's so accurate and effective. And at this point, Whittaker's been kind of beaten down a little bit. You know, he's taken a few kicks. He's been jabbed in the body. He's been cracked in the face. He's not getting to Adesanya in the way that he would like to. So Adesanya, when he starts closing distance with confidence, with feints, he gets the result that he wants. He gets that timidity from his opponent where they're not sure what to cover. So they'll just try and cover it all. Watch these feints from Adesanya here. There's your first feint. That's a hip feint. We're watching this hip here. So he's feinting that this kick's coming. Hip feint. You can see how he brings his arm across his midsection as well. Hip feint. Re-establishes his back foot. Hip feint, re-establish. Creep forward, cross feint. It's so subtle. It's so subtle. It's almost not there. But if you're Whittaker and you're tuned into every motion and of his shoulders and you see him go, you're just thinking about that left cross coming. Check. Feint, feint, cross. Feint, feint, cross. And the point when he lands on Whittaker, what's Whittaker blocking? Everything. Everything he can block with two arms and a shin. Because he just doesn't know what's coming. Is it going to be an inside low kick? You better block it. Is it going to be a cross? You better block it. Is it going to come around the sides? You better tuck up. Now, if this is a kickboxing match, that punch doesn't get through. Because the gap that it's going through in the arms would be too narrow for a 10-ounce glove. At least it would be too narrow for it to go through cleanly and land without it being stifled by forearms first. You'll see what I mean here. Look at that. Like he would have landed on forearms before he'd have hit the face, and it would have probably taken away some of the sting of the punch, and he may not have got the knockdown. Like, this is why I feel like this is far more suited to Adesanya than it is Pereira, because the smaller gloves allow those margins for defense to be easily read by Adesanya compared to what they would be in big gloves. In big gloves, you're going to get hit, and you've got guard, so you can kind of take them a bit better on your guard. But honestly, I think that's one of the reasons why that first fight went against Adesanya against Pereira, because he had to block some of those shots because there were big gloves flying at him and he was backed up against the ropes, leaning over the ropes. Like, those shots looked far more damaging than I think they actually were. And I think if Adesanya and Pereira had the same kind of power, we would have seen the volume of strikes that Adesanya landed on Pereira and how effective they could have been if he'd had the same power. Again, I'm going over the same point, but I feel like that's going to be a key in this one. Like, the difference in the size of a 10-ounce glove and a 4-ounce glove, the space that they're working with. Now, Pereira's experience in mixed martial arts, of course, is limited. In his first fight, he came out against someone that he fully expected to be able to knock out in the first round. And I think there was so much excitement around him making that transition to MMA that, and I did it myself. I remember my first fight. I was just, every single shot that I throw is going to knock him out. And if you go from 10-ounce gloves to 4-ounce gloves and you're Alex Pereira, you think to yourself, how am I not going to knock them out when I land? But he didn't. He didn't. He got taken down. He got choked out in that first fight. So that was a setback for him in that first fight. Since then, it's given him the respect of the range of mixed martial arts, and it's allowed him to pressure his opponents with a smarter mentality. He's not quite as reckless now because he knows he needs one shot, so he doesn't want to waste his energy throwing shots that aren't going to land cleanly. And his left hook is his main asset. It's a very, very powerful weapon. Now, you can see here against Powell in LFA, he's constantly trying to trap him up against the fence and trying to catch him with this left hook around the side. Now, what you'll notice here is that Powell brings his hand up nice and high. So this is what I'm talking about. If he kept throwing this left hook over and over again and he keeps landing on the arm, he's eventually going to tire himself out. But you see how he's not... just watch his very first fight. From this point onwards, he was winging more shots because he thought that something was going to land. By the time he gets to LFA, he's far more specific with where he's shooting his shots. Nice left hook there. Doesn't quite land cleanly, But look again, posts, circles, make sure he's not getting tied up. So his respect for the mixed martial arts range is there, but he still wants to be slightly inside kickboxing range. He wants to be at that range where he can do damage without stepping forward into Adesanya's techniques. And he does have a good kicking game, but I do feel like everything that he does really is about circling people onto his left hook. He's got a power right, he's got a power left, he's got great skip knees. We saw him against Artem Vakhitov when he was fighting in Glory. He has got very good knees. We saw it against Michael Idas as well, he landed that knee. It's going to be difficult to land that on Adesanya because he doesn't tend to lean forward. That's ideal against someone that wants to level change, but against someone that's being defensive striking, you need reaching shots. So kicks would be ideal, and if Adesanya is going to be slipping away, starting his techniques with kicks would be ideal as well, because he might be able to bring Adesanya back onto that left hook from a kick. That's what we see here against Powell. So he's going to throw this power kick to the side. He's going to make Powell block it, and he's going to stay in the same spot. Where are we? Power kick. I love this knockout. So what I'm seeing here, right? Pereira's throwing this kick. I'm standing right in front of you right now. You're my opponent. You're Powell. I'm going to throw this kick to... Ooh, oh, damn it. I'm going to throw this kick to your open side, and I'm going to plan on it hitting your guard, because you're going to see it coming, because this is power kick to the open side. I'm expecting you to block it. But I'm not really that bothered, because I've got hardened shins and I hit really hard, so I'm going to throw this kick anyway. But what I know it's most likely going to do is it's going to get you to move away from that power side. It's going to remind you that shots coming from that direction are hurtful, regardless of whether you take them on the guard or not. Now, we were talking a little bit ago about Adesanya and how he delays his shots. Watch how Pereira delays this left hook. So we go, kick to the body. Powell moves towards the left hook, but he sees it postured. You see that left elbow pulled back. Powell sees the left hook postured, so he moves towards it with his guard up. But the timing of it, same as we were talking about with Adesanya and that low kick, the timing of it's different. There's a pre-programmed timing with the majority of people striking. Bang, 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 bang. If you get a high-level striker that knows that rhythm and can break it, it can feel very, very chaotic. And that's what happens here, because Powell is expecting kick to hook, kick to hook, and he gets kick to block to hook. So that brief moment where Pereira just hangs back, that's when the hook is set up. Here we go. Kick, postures the hook, Powell steps into it with his guard up, and then the hook comes afterwards. Kick, block, hook. It's such a slick knockout. When you watch it from the other angle as well, you can see how, I mean, he just kind of electric slides out of the way afterwards. Watch. Kick, leaves his base foot where it is, plants his back foot, twists. Beautiful. I just love that little delay that he adds in. Because he knows if he throws that hook in that moment, it's going to land on the guard, same as it did earlier. And then slides out the way. Look at that little glide. Too slick. You can see from this angle how Powell's going to move around to the side, away from this power shot, away from this power kick. Power kick, takes it on the guard, on the side of the head, neck and the guard. Moves away from it. Look at the front foot. Look how he moves around that front foot. That goes on the list of one of my favourite knockouts, that does. I love it. Let me just play it through one more. There we go. Kick, postures the hook, throws the hook. Independent weapons working independently of the technique. Same thing against Strickland as well. We see the same thing. He's playing with these weapons individually, knowing each one of them can end the fight on its own. But the fact that they work independently allows him to change the timing and the rhythm on all of them. Adesanya can do the same thing. So the fact that we've got two very high-level strikers that have already spent a bunch of time fighting against one another, now they're moving into mixed martial arts, they've got small gloves, they've got octagons, so they've not got the 90 degrees to get stuck in the corners. Now they've got, what is it, 135 degrees. Now there's more space for Adesanya to be gliding in and around those corners to make it more difficult for Alex Pereira to trap him. If Alex Pereira can trap him, he can maybe get Adesanya to commit to something and catch him with one of these counter shots. But I feel like Pereira is going to have to be more aggressive in this fight, which didn't really work out too well for him in that first bout in kickboxing. Having Adesanya commit to something, making sure he's going to be there for your knockout shot, is what Alex Pereira's got to do. Trapping him up against the fence, so Adesanya's got to either go left or right. He can either move towards my right power kick or move towards my left hook, or he can move straight forward and I'm going to drop back and catch him with my hook or my knee. Like, that's where Pereira needs Adesanya. If he's not trapped up against the fence, then Pereira is going to look like he's a bit too far away a lot of the time. I feel like Adesanya's going to be able to throw the mixed martial arts range into this fight, and it's going to make Alex Pereira feel quite uncomfortable, because those preconceived notions of how it felt when they fought the first time and the second time, this is going to feel very different. Like, I know people that have gone from kickboxing to Muay Thai and into mixed martial arts, and the first thing that they notice is that the space between you is different. Like, you don't feel like you stand as close to them. It can take quite an adjustment. In seven fights, I don't know if Alex Pereira has made that adjustment against the right caliber of fighter. Sean Strickland had this coming, because the way he fights, he's got this guard. I mean, I call it the cocksucker guard, so people don't do it, because it's not defending anything. It's not doing anything for you. And what you'll notice is that you can see jawline on one side, you know the jawline's on the other. And every time Pereira reaches for something, you'll see Strickland reaching for hands. Now Izzy does that a little bit, but he's still very aware of these outside gates. He doesn't allow things to come around the sides too much. Strickland is very reactive and not very aware of this level of striking, because Strickland's caught in the trap of thinking he's an elite striker. And then when he steps in there against someone like Pereira Adesanya, it's the same thing that happened with Paulo Costa. And I know people got upset when I said that he was going to look like a bodybuilder compared to Adesanya. But he looked like a bodybuilder compared to Adesanya. He even drank red wine the night before competition, so he looked more lean. You know, it's just silliness. It's like you fight someone like Adesanya or like Pereira, and it's like seeing behind a curtain that you didn't know was there. And that's what happened to Strickland here. Now, I don't know whether he's been able to take this lesson on and do something with it, but he's got just this such a hard-headed approach to fighting that someone like Alex Pereira, with the punching power that he's got, they were going to do this all the time. It was a beautiful setup. Pereira moving away, allowing Strickland to walk onto his shots. Look at that, reaching for that hook, catches him on the chin. Like, this is why I don't expect Pereira to be able to catch Izzy with something unless Izzy's committed to an attack. Because Izzy's going to know about this. Izzy will have done just as much research as I've done, and he will be prepared for what Alex Pereira is going to be throwing at him. The surprise will be grappling in this one from either of them, but it will be a surprise for me too. I think if anyone's going to grapple, it's more likely going to be Alex Pereira. I feel like Izzy is still going to feel like the strength and the grappling skills that Pereira's got from training with Glover Teixeira are going to be a little bit too much for him over the 25 minutes. And what you don't want is to be tired against Alex Pereira, because then he'll just be on the front foot. He'll have you backed up against the fence. He'll be switch-kneeing in your face. He'll be cracking you with this hook and chopping you with his right leg. Izzy needs all the energy that he can get, and he needs all the space that he can get. He needs Alex Pereira to feel frustrated and to miss the majority of his shots. He needs him to miss all of his shots, because even if he misses the majority, the ones that can land can do a lot of damage. But again, Izzy's a multiple attack fighter. He's not just looking for that left hook, or he's not just looking for the body kick. He's going to work on the lead leg, and then he's going to work on the nose, and then he's going to work on the midsection, and then he's going to go back to the leg. Then he's going to start using the leg as a setup for the head. Then he's going to attack the body to remind you that the body's weak before he goes back to the leg. Like, this constant switching of gears that Adesanya's got has always proved too much for his opponents. I expect Alex Pereira to be able to know those kind of games that Izzy's going to play. But whether he can stop him doing them or not is another question. Lovely left hook, this was. And what I like even more is the follow-up. He drills him twice with a cross as he's going down. I'm not sure whether I left that in here. Look at that. I mean, what's Strickland's hand doing here? Oh, dear. Some people you don't mind watching get knocked out, though, do you? Let's be honest. What could I say that I haven't said about this? I would go through the stats for you, but they're not a great deal of use given the fact that Pereira's just not been around very much. You know, Adesanya, 78% takedown defense. It's good takedown defense. 59% striking defense. It's good. Like, he's got good statistics. He's a skilled, talented martial artist that's had 24 fights. The only time he's lost, he's been up against Jan Błachowicz at light heavyweight. And Jan wasn't able to connect and knock him out. And we know that Jan can put people away. We saw him do it to Rockhold. We saw him do it to Dom Reyes. If Alex Pereira lands on Adesanya, he's going to knock him out. Landing cleanly on Adesanya is going to be far more difficult in a mixed martial arts fight than it was in kickboxing. He did it once in kickboxing. In my opinion, he lost that first fight, and he was losing the second one until he landed that hook. Yeah. I'll be doing a live stream this week, so come with your questions. We'll have a good chat about this. There's some really good fights on this card. I've done a war room for Poirier against Chandler as well, and I'm just about to record Wei Li against Esparza. So make sure you check both of those out. I think that's everything. Enjoy these fights, and I'll see you next time.